Okay, my name is Sarah Martin, and I'm a member of WAM, Women Against Military Madness. Woo! That's right. And we've been around since 1982. That's a long time. And we came out of the anti-nuclear movement in the early 80s and the wars on Central America, and we've opposed every U.S. war intervention, whatever, since, so we've been busy. One of the things we do is every Friday, we've done this for over 25 years, we go to a busy intersection near McAllister College, and we banner for Palestine, for a free Palestine. Now, liberation of Palestine, right? Next phase. After October 7th, of course, our numbers have grown to, we were about 9 or 10, but after October 7th, we've grown to anywhere between 60 and 200 people. Yesterday, how many of you in this room were able to get there yesterday? Woo! All right. So you know what it's all about. And you heard the honks of the cars. We used to mostly get fingers, but now we get honks, so. We are very proud to be a part of this amazing movement in this city, which you heard from at last night's panel. We are also proud to be a longtime member of UNAC. And today, I get to be the lucky one, and I'm very honored and excited to introduce our speaker, Manar Adli, an award-winning journalist and the founder and director of Mint Press News, an independent watchdog outlet that covers the permanent war state and those who profit off it. Not MSNBC, right? Manar was raised and born in this country, but in her early preteens and teen years, she and her family lived for 4.5 years in Palestine. During that time, the Second Intifada began. She says that's actually where Mint Press actually began or was born. In her teenage years, she experienced and saw the brutality of the Israeli occupation and apartheid regime. Bombs being dropped on civilian homes, having the water cut off, curfews, classmates being blocked from going to school. Sounds way too familiar still. When she moved back to the U.S., she turned to the media to keep up on what was happening in Palestine and quickly realized that what was being reported was false, distorted, and turned the narrative on its head. As a result, we have this important global news source which she has fearlessly and courageously developed. She has assembled an amazing group of journalists who provide up-to-date reports and analysis. She never backs away from confronting false narratives and persevered through the attacks on her journalism about Syria. Let's hear it for that. Yes. She also produces and is co-host of the Mintcast podcast, it's called Mintcast Podcast, and of the video series Behind the Headlines. She was the first American woman to wear hijab to anchor or report the news in American media in 2009. Manar is the recipient of the Women's Institute for Freedom of the Press Award and the Serena Shim Award for Independent Journalists. We are fortunate to have her here in the Twin Cities, not only because of this wonderful global resource, but also to cover our movement. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Manar. Give it up for Manar.
Hello, hello, everybody. Assalamu alaikum. It is truly an honor to be here with you all, with a very vibrant group of people who have united against the cause of war. And I really appreciate Sarah's very beautiful introduction of me. I'm very humbled by that. Thank you. But it has truly been a very difficult past 6 months. Over the past 6 months, we've witnessed many, many dark moments in the history of mankind. Over the last 6 months, we've witnessed the worst of what human beings are capable of. War crimes and atrocities being committed using our taxpayer money. We've witnessed the most degrading, most humiliating, and most inhumane treatment of a defenseless population. Every single day since October 7th, and before that even, we collectively witnessed in absolute horror, an apartheid state, commit the most horrific crimes right on the screens of our smartphones with complete and total immunity. We witnessed our leaders give the diplomatic cover and the very weapons to Israel to commit this genocide. Our eyes became witness to dismembered children with their limbs blown off. Our hearts heard the cries of the helpless fathers carrying their decapitated babies while collecting the body parts of their wives and children in plastic bags. We heard the screams of the mothers carrying the dead bodies of their children, crying for them just to wake up. We were told that 41,000 people, including 15,000 children, murdered, were all collateral damage. But we know, based on the testimonies from Israeli soldiers and Israeli intelligence officials, that these deaths were not by accident. Israel has the most sophisticated AI technology, like the Lavender system and face scanning technology used by their eyes and ears in the sky, that knows every single person in Gaza and watches their every movement. The U.S. gives Israel over $10.4 million a day in military aid, money that is paid for from our taxpayer money. And with this kind of funding, Israel has developed some of the most sophisticated war technology that is battle-tested in Gaza. Israeli intelligence confirmed that Israel is using their AI Lavender system to intentionally target civilian homes, apartment buildings, schools, and hospitals to erase Palestinians. And this is an intentional policy that is designed to create as much carnage, as much despair, and as much destruction as possible. But this has a name, and it's called terrorism. Terrorism is defined as the unlawful targeting of civilians for a political purpose. And Israel has openly stated that their political purpose is to erase Palestinians, to put pressure on Palestinians to end their resistance. Israel is using terrorism to pressure Palestinian civilians to kill an idea, the idea of liberation, the idea that Palestinians exist, the idea that Palestinians have a right to return to their homes that Israel stole from them, an idea that Palestinians deserve to live and exist and resist their occupiers. But what Israel is doing in Gaza is not only terrorism, but it's what the United States has done around the world for decades since World War II. And the media and our politicians continue to gaslight us. We see them donning their perfectly ironed suits, State Department officials and White House spokespeople look at us straight in the eyes with a smile, telling us that they see no evidence of Israel targeting civilians. Why would they? Why would they say that Israel is committing war crimes? Israel is a terror state backed by the biggest exporter of terror in the world since World War II, which is the United States. What Israel is doing in Gaza is just an outward expression of what the United States has done for decades against the global south, to Africa, to the East Asia, to the Middle East, in its carnage of arming and funding death squads, overthrowing democratically elected governments, backing and arming apartheid and genocide in its occupations, in its extractions of minerals and oil, and in its sanctions regimes, its wars and policies that have killed millions of people around the world and displaced millions more. So let's not forget Yemen. Let's not forget Libya, Syria, Ukraine, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua, Brazil, South Africa, Rwanda, Sudan, Mali, Somalia, Congo, Vietnam, Japan, the Marshall Islands, an endless list of countries too long to mention here. And we were reminded just this week with the 14th anniversary of WikiLeaks' release of the collateral damage video, showing U.S. military drone operators targeting and killing Iraqi civilians and Reuters journalists in Iraq. Isn't that what Israel has been doing every single day in Gaza? Let's not forget the U.S. killed 1 million people in Iraq and 1 million people in Afghanistan. The United States used white phosphorus and banned chemical weapons in Fallujah, where children are still born today with birth defects. Isn't that exactly what Israel is doing today in Gaza? What the war in Gaza has done is really just expose the moral depravity of the so-called rules-based international order. They've weaponized democracy and human rights to promote endless wars and profits for weapons manufacturers. But in the darkest moments of this horrific tragedy, a light has certainly shined through. It is the collective humanity of us all, one by one, who have organized, who have spoken out, who have boycotted, who have educated, who have disrupted, who have shut it down, and tragically, even self-emulated. The tides are turning. In these dark moments, the ripple effects of change created a global tide. This is a global awakening, and the Intifada has now been globalized. The world has spoken for Palestine, but it has also broken through the fog of war. The fog of war of the endless wars that have been sold to us as humanitarian wars. It has risen above the media manipulation and the propaganda machine that for far too long manufactured consent for apartheid under the guise of shared values, democracy, and human rights. But we now know that those shared values mean colonialism, occupation, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and grave human rights abuses. Millions of people across the globe are taking over the streets of Palestine. We are shutting down the weapons factories across the UK, like Palestine Action. We are occupying the offices of our elected officials. We are protesting in the lobbies of the propaganda machine, the New York Times. Yemen, the poorest country in the Middle East, is being bombed anew nearly every single day by the U.S. military because they enforced a Red Sea maritime blockade of Israeli ships, while Palestine's Arab neighbors currently and actively assist Israel to circumvent that blockade and even assist Israel in the genocide. Yemen has endured over a decade of a humanitarian crisis. 23 million people have been starving because of a U.S.-backed Saudi blockade. Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia continue to pay lip service to their citizens while assisting Israel in its genocide and doing normalization treaties behind the scenes. But the people of the world have broken through the fog of war. They're saying no to normalization and not believing the atrocity propaganda blitz. Just like the incubator babies, weapons of mass destruction, and the Gaddafi mass Viagra hoax that brought us the wars in Iraq and NATO invasion of Libya, we as a collective have broken through the fog of war. And most importantly, here in America, the Democratic Party has finally shown its true face, taking off its mask so Americans see that it has exposed itself as the bloodthirsty, war-hungry party that it is. We see and hear Genocide Joe quite loudly and clearly. We cannot rely on our leaders to save us and stop this war. The power right now is in our hands, and we will continue to disrupt the war machine until the entire system of endless wars turns into endless peace. Thank you.